first, I'd like to say, wow, we are in 2024. Who would have thought? It's like Brent Mayer said last time, stay alive to 2025.
Welcome to Buzz House, a Baker-Tilly podcast where you can hear all the buzz around multifamily housing with all the info you need to help you win now and anticipate tomorrow. Hi, I'm Don Bernards, the partner in charge of Baker-Tilly's multifamily housing practice.
And I'm Garrett Gibson, a partner at Baker Tilly, also specializing in consulting on multifamily housing transactions across the country.
Let's get started. For today's episode, Garrett and I will be giving an overview of Baker Tilly's fourth quarter commercial real estate market report, of course, focusing on the multifamily segment. The report is led by our business partner, Brent Mayer, and again, thank you, Brent and his team, for producing the report. Before Garrick and I jump into our discussion, just a couple of news updates from around the industry. In a January 10th Federal Register notice, HUD set an absolute annual cap of 10% on income limit increases for housing finance by low-income housing tax credits, private activity bonds, and the Section 8 program, among various other HUD programs. The change affects income eligibility of families and also sets a rent increase limit of 10% again for LIHTC and Section 8 properties. Previously, the income limit cap was the higher of 5% or twice the annual percentage change in the national median family income. This is something that's been in discussion. COVID kind of threw us off a little bit. There were increases, right? Maybe it was like up to 15%. So HUD is trying to have some kind of limit for these annual increases. In other news, the Harvard Joint Center for Housing Studies recently released two different reports. The first was entitled Housing America's Older Adults. This report found that nearly 11.2 million older adults, defined by the center at age 65 or older, were cost burdened, which again, the definition is more than paying more than 30% of their household income on housing costs. This was up significantly in all time, being an all-time high, up from 9.7. Again, now we're 11.2, 9.7 million in 2016. The research also covers other hardships facing older renters and homeowners as they struggle to cover housing and healthcare costs. The other report by the Harvard Joint Center for Housing Studies is entitled America's Rental Housing 2024. Key takeaways from this report include growth in housing rental rates slowed in 2023 after record-breaking increases in 2021 and 2022. Apartment rents actually dropped in one-third of the 150 markets that are tracked by this report. And actually, Garrick and I will touch on this briefly when we go in our discussion of the report. Also, rental unaffordability increased by 2 million households during the last 3 years, with a record high 22.4 million Americans spending more than 30% of their income on rent and utilities. Also, the report noticed a record high level number of people experiencing homelessness. One other quick update. Of course, the House of Representatives passed the Tax Relief for American Families and Workers Act, which includes a very important legislation, of course, for our low-income housing tax credit industry. Very bipartisan, strong support across the aisle, Democrat and Republican. Again, this, of course, would be adding back the 12.5%, 9% low-income housing tax credit for a couple of years and reducing the 50% bond test to 30% for a couple of years. Again, several hundred thousand additional units of housing is projected from these two components. So again, watching the Senate on this one and when they will pass. Hopefully with that bipartisan support in the House, the industry, of course, hoping we see that in the Senate as well with the tax package in general. With that, Garrick and I are going to jump into our summary of the fourth quarter Baker Tilly real estate report. Garrick, looking forward to going into it.
Looking forward to it.
Garrick, let's start. Would you be able to summarize the, again, kind of maybe the macro level general economic overview?
Yes, but first I'd like to say, wow, we are in 2024. Who would have thought? It's like Brent Mayer said last time, stay alive to 2025. So we got this year to look forward to. But I'll go ahead and jump right in. So the level of employment overall has remained strong with unemployment rate ending at 3.7% for the quarter. And since January 2022, the monthly unemployment rate has averaged around 3.64%. Despite inflation, significant disjunction in the capital markets, this low unemployment rate has helped with not sinking into a recession. Inflation, you know, that bad word inflation, it was modest in the fourth quarter. While the CPI increased 0.3% in December, it was just 0.45% for the quarter or 1.78% annualized. So that is less than the Fed stated rate they had at 2%. So not bad.
Perfect. Thanks for that, Garrett. Garrett, a question we get all the time. We look at a lot of pro formas, look at that. The biggest number in the pro forma, of course, is construction. And we had a couple of wild years of 2021, 2022. How did the fourth quarter, Garrick, what are the numbers? How did the construction pricing look?
Yeah, you know, obviously that's always on our mind, right? As of late. So the fourth quarter actually showed only modest growth in construction pricing, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics Index of Materials and Components in Construction. So basically, costs were up less than 1% over 2022. So some of this is actually due to reduced demand as new construction activity slowed relative to the past 2 years. This is welcome news to developers who actually saw significant construction costs in 2021 and 2022, as we know, which increased in the 25% to 30% range. I even remember some transactions where it was even trickling over 30%. Within these numbers for 2023, you know, the lumber costs were back down to 2019 and 2020 levels. So all in all, I mean, that tracking, I guess, in the positive direction.
Very good. No, that is good to see for real estate development, multifamily development. Here, kind of now jumping, that was kind of the macro level. Let's jump in, of course, into the multifamily sector. What's noted in the report, again, generally speaking, around the multifamily real estate sector at large?
At large. Well done. Some key takeaways are, okay, first, look, multifamily fundamentals, obviously extremely strong, consistent with the previous discussion on inflation rates coming down. The rapid rise in operating expenses, which we covered in the third quarter, has also slowed. Also, according to the Apartments List January 2024 rent report, rents have been on the decline since July, with a report citing rents down 1% for the year. While this drop is small, this coupled with rising vacancies to 6.5% in December will give a hit to the net operating income. So look out for that. You know, this increase in vacancies seems to be a result of overall large amount of new supply projects starting when interest rates were historically low. Vacancies will likely fall again as the new product is absorbed and fewer units are coming online, as we have obviously a housing shortage here, right? And John Seabreeze, Senior Vice President and National Director of Marcus & Millichap's Multifamily Housing Division, noted now that it's the time to buy, right? So interest rates are still high, but moving down, vacancies are up a little, but rents down a little. So take that information as you will. It kind of looks a little positive, maybe going the wrong direction, rents going down. But I think as expected, because it seems like everything's going to start settling back and then trickling back to sort of hopefully some type of normalcy.
Right. No, that's good. That's a good tip as well, thinking about that. You mentioned the housing shortage. We talk about that a lot. A lot of reports we reference talk about the housing shortage. What does the fourth quarter report kind of hit on around the topic of our housing shortage?
Well, you know, obviously, I don't think the housing shortage is going to go away. I don't think it really made a dent, right? So the report actually references that the National Apartment Association data, it still shows the country needs 4.3 million new apartment units by 2035. More problematic, the National Low Income Housing Coalition estimates there's actually a shortage of 7.3 million affordable and available rental homes for low-income households, with a large increase from 2019 to 2021. You know, while our podcast has covered potential legislative updates to help with the housing supply, there's really has not been significant action to tackle that 7.3 million shortfall. Private capital cannot make affordable housing work without government investment. So this is especially true with the high interest rate market, the high construction costs, high operating expense environment, which is now like the topic of conversation. So one other looming issue in the affordable housing space is noted in an article from Globe Street. They cited a person from KeyBank, almost 500,000 units will convert to market rate by 2030. Oh, 500,000.
Right.
That's interesting.
Yeah, top of a shortage, you're going to lose maybe existing product with Lura to the affordable or to the market space. So
correct.
Yep. Garrick, and maybe just, you know, in conclusion, what does the report kind of talk about takeaways from the fourth quarter? I know something you and I have talked about and was glad to see that we did see interest rates come down in many debt products, 50 to 75 basis points. It seems like that might be holding. Again, I think a lot of people think interest rates maybe as we go through 2024 will kind of trend down. So that was one thing I know you and I saw. What other things did the report kind of have a takeaway for the fourth quarter?
Yeah, just a couple of interesting things on like preferences, right? So one takeaway comes from the National Multifamily Housing Council's 2024 Renters Preferences Survey report. So with the majority of respondents working remotely, the report noted like a declining preference for a fitness center and a growing demand on communal and open workspace. That's pretty interesting. People spend more time in their units, in their apartment communities versus away at the office. The most successful properties will understand and have to adapt to that and add those amenities and features that these residents desire for their home workplaces. And one other area of continued growth is in large single family home rental developments. You know, significant capital still flowed into this niche in the fourth quarter. You know, you had single family home prices continuing to rise. So this demand and supply should continue to grow. And finally, Don, so as noted earlier, the fundamentals are very strong, right? So while there are significant challenges in addressing affordability and overall supply of apartment units, there's still a high level of confidence from lenders and equity for the long haul. So when capital begins moving more significantly again, the multifamily sector should likely be a large beneficiary, I would imagine.
Perfect.
It's been a great asset class in the past.
No, that's perfect. Those are some good takeaways. And again, looking forward to what we see here in 2024. That's it for this episode of The Buzz House. Garrick and I enjoyed walking through Baker Tilly's fourth quarter commercial real estate market updates, and hopefully you did too. Once again, I'm Don Bernards.
And I'm Garrick Gibson. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. For additional resources around multifamily housing, check out BakerTilly.com. If you have a suggestion for the show, email us at build@BakerTilly.com. That's build@BakerTilly.com. See you next time on Buzz House.